You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 17th of July, 2025, where we're giving you consumer finance and markets news you can use. The Australian share market actually hit another record high today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.9%. We'll have the details and find out what he's telling his clients, Henry Jennings, from Markets Today. That's in a few moments. But the market rose because of the unemployment rate, which also increased to 4.3%. And that's because markets are now almost fully pricing in an interest rate cut in Australia next month, while some other market experts are even asking if the RBA made a mistake by holding fire last week. The Bureau of Statistics says the unemployment rate rose from 4.1% in May to 4.3% in June. That's a level the RBA wasn't expecting to be reached until the end of the year and puts the jobless rate at the highest since November 2021. The key reason for that? A large fall in the number of people in full-time work, down 38,000, although part-time work rose by 40,000. To go through the details, I spoke with Nick Stenner, the head of Australia and New Zealand economics at Bank of America. Nick, so Australia's unemployment rate has risen to a 3.5-year high. How would you describe the jobs market then? Because at the moment, and for so long, it's been quite resilient and quite tight.
Yeah, it's a good question. So I'd still characterise it as tight, but I'd say we're seeing a gradual softening in the labour market. So the monthly data do bounce around a fair bit. I mean, just last year, we saw the unemployment rate tick up from 4 to 4.2 in the middle of the year, and it was back down below 4 by the end of the year. So it's not unheard of to get this kind of volatility. And I tend to focus more on the trend measures that the ABS publish, and that suggests the labour market is still tight, but we've seen a gradual softening.
Yeah, can we talk about that softening? I think we saw 38,000 full-time positions lost, but 40,000 part-time rise. So where are we seeing this softening in the labour market?
Yeah, so it's part of a gradual broader softening in the labour market that we're seeing. Is this kind of follows the weakness that we saw in GDP, towards the end of last year and earlier this year, as the labour market tends to follow weakness in GDP. So we're seeing that come through, and we've also seen labour supplies increase. So the participation rate ticked up to 67.1%. So that's, around a record high. So when you've got increasing labour supply and employment only grows about 2,000 in the month, you get this mechanical increase in the unemployment rate.
Does it increase the chance of a Reserve Bank interest rate cut next month?
Definitely, I'd say strengthens the case of a cut from the RBA in August. I mean, we think that the RBA is likely to cut by 25 basis points, but the main piece of information the RBA will be waiting for is the quarterly CPI, which we'll get on July 30th. So assuming that the quarterly CPI shows further progress on inflation and that trimmed mean measure of inflation continues to decline, we think we'll get another cut from the RBA in August.
I've seen a bit of commentary to suggest that where the unemployment rate is now is where the Reserve Bank expects it to be at the end of the year, right? With that in mind as well, does it mean that the RBA should have cut interest rates earlier, or do you think that they were always waiting for that inflation number?
They're always really waiting for inflation. I mean, labour market's important, but the unemployment rate in the second quarter has actually averaged 4.2, which is exactly where the RBA were forecasting back in May. So I think the labour market's probably evolving broadly in line with what they expected. And I think it underlines the case that the RBA will take this kind of gradual approach to easing. We don't see the economic case for kind of back-to-back cuts or anything like that. So a gradual pace where you get kind of quarterly cuts, we think they'll go in August and again in November, is probably consistent with what you're seeing in the labour market with this kind of gradual softening that's occurring.
And any other surprises or silver linings in the release today?
Yeah, so if you want to take kind of a glass half full view of the labour market release, it's worth noting that the employment is up 2% year on year. This is a growth rate above the average in the decade prior to the pandemic, which is around 1.7%. So despite the weak June numbers, you've still got, strong employment growth year over year. The underemployment rate also, which captures people who want to work more hours, that's also down about half a percentage point from where it was a year ago. So we've still got, signs of tightness in the labor market. And more broadly, an unemployment rate of 4.3% in a historical context is still a really, really low unemployment rate. We haven't seen the RBA easing interest rates with the unemployment rate even in the fours outside the global financial crisis. So while the unemployment rate has ticked up today, I wouldn't overemphasize the read from 1 month of data, and I'd still definitely characterize the labor market as tight and a pretty good news story.
That's Nick Stenner there from Bank of America.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
In a few moments, we'll take a look at how boardroom diversity is shaping up on the Australian corporate scene. But first, to the Australian share market, which did rise to a record high following those unemployment numbers. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.9% to 8,639. All 11 sectors ended higher. Property best, the property sector up by 1.46%, followed by industrials and the financial sector. IT also doing particularly well. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Henry Jennings, a market analyst at Marcus Today. Henry, how did the market react to the jobs data today?
Well, it did react positively, I guess. The number was slightly weaker than anticipated. The market was looking for 20,000 jobs created, and it was way less than that, at 2,000. And more importantly, the unemployment rate rose to 4.3%. So we did have a little bit of a blip higher on the hope, I guess, that the RBA will cut on August the 12th, which is their next meeting. It was already quite positive, but it just kind of added a little bit of icing to the cake today, especially in the banking sector.
Yeah, so to what extent is the market now pricing in the chance of a rate cut in August? How does it compare pre and post data?
Well, I think it's pretty much a certainty. Mind you, I thought it was pretty much a certainty last time, as did so many other economists. So it is, I think it's now pretty much baked in. The risk is, of course, that the RBA is now a little bit behind the curve with that 4.3% unemployment rate. So that could be a bit of a concern. But certainly at the moment, the market is taking it positively. And I guess we're waiting for August the 12th to get confirmation that we're going to see that rate cut. But it is a positive move, that's for sure.
Speaking of positive, the market, the ASX 200 continues to flirt with record territory. It's been there just recently. Why? Because we've had all this trade uncertainty. So what's behind this investor confidence at the moment?
I guess we have had the trade uncertainty, but also what we've had is the pushback on the dates in terms of when they're coming in. And also, I guess, some sort of moderation of the rhetoric and the letters that are being sent out in terms of those tariffs. So the market, we are a little bit defensive in some respects because we are not exposed quite so much to the US economy. The big one, of course, is Europe and China. That's still really to come, although China has got sort of an uneasy peace. But our market does have some defensive qualities. And of course, our banking sector being so dominant is really playing a big part in this record high that we're seeing. But we are shrugging off it at the moment. That's certainly the case. Whether we're too complacent or not remains to be seen. But for the time being, we're focusing more on US results, reporting season, and our own reporting season in August.
What about China? Because the iron ore price has rebounded. It's back at a two-month high. It's above 100 US. How much has that got to do with what's going on in China? And is there some more confidence about its economy?
I think there is a little bit of growing confidence. We have seen some big export numbers coming out of China, mainly to beat those tariffs, I guess. And also we're seeing a little bit more stimulus coming in. GDP in China was 5.2%, which was above where it is sort of officially mandated, if you like, at 5%. So that has been a positive. And there has been some signs in the steel industry of some moderation there in terms of production, which is helping as well. And I think it just got a little bit oversold. So we are seeing a little bit better in terms of iron ore. I don't think it's going to race away, but certainly some signs there that are encouraging that the Chinese economy is turning around somewhat.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
I think there are still opportunities for investors in our market. Not every sector has done very well, and we are seeming to rotate through sectors. Defence has been one of the big themes in our market. We've seen some really huge gains in some of those defence stocks. We've also seen rare earths recently as well. But I think there's still some opportunities in the resources. I think there's still some opportunities in the tech space as well. Both WiseTech and Xero look quite interesting at the moment. So I think there's still opportunities in sectors. The banks do look a little bit overbought, but they have done for some time. But ignoring that, I think there's still opportunities abound.
That's Henry Jennings there from Markets Today. Let's check in on Australia's boardroom diversity at the moment, because gender diversity on boards of Australia's listed companies is improving. The Australian Institute of Company Directors says women continue to hold close to 40% of board positions on ASX 100 companies, while there's now greater representation on smaller firms compared with this time last year. And while it's above 40% in larger companies like those on the ASX 20 and 50, representation has actually decreased since June 2024. So to find out more, I spoke with Mariam Vezadeh, Board Diversity Lead at the Australian Institute of Company Directors. Mariam, how would you describe the progress in boardroom gender diversity in Australia's listed companies at the moment?
We've actually seen really significant progress, and the trend that we are seeing is positive overall. We are obviously across ASX 20 and 50, we're over 40%. Across ASX 100, 200 and 300, that number is inching closer to 40%, but still below. And we are noticing a bit of a plateauing that we will be watching closely as we do our future quarterly reports.
Yeah, let's go into that in a bit more detail, because it would appear that it is better the larger the company. Although, as you mentioned, those ASX 20 and 50 companies, while they're above 40%, there is now weaker representation this time compared to this time last year. So what's the message there?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that across ASX 20 and 50, they're very much still leading the way across in terms of gender diversity. I think the key thing here is maintaining momentum. It took us a long time actually to get to this figure. So it's maintaining momentum, not just reaching targets, but ensuring that we see sustained efforts. And that actually requires us looking at the pipeline C-suite, ensuring that female representation is consistent across the board.
And how do you get more gender diversity on boards? I guess, and not just gender diversity, diversity in general, and what are the benefits?
Yeah, this is something I'm really passionate about, as you know. So in terms of this data, it is specifically focused on gender, but we did actually this year in May partner with on the Watermark Board Diversity Report alongside Deloitte. And that actually looked across all diversity dimensions. So not just gender, but across cultural diversity and other diversity dimensions, importantly. And certainly what those trends are is showing that with across other diversity dimensions, progress is definitely lacking. And so we hope to see more concerted efforts in driving change across the board, because the benefit is really clear. And I've been working in this space for over a decade. Greater diversity across the board improves, it drives innovation, productivity, and from at a board level specifically, there's, you know, governance dividends, so to speak. So we certainly hope that across the ASX, we can see sustained efforts in driving those figures higher.
That is Mariam Vezadeh there from the Australian Institute of Company Directors. That wraps up this edition of the SBS On The Money podcast. Don't forget, if you do enjoy it, to give it a like and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe. See you next time.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.